All right, 1 John chapter 5 tonight. And my subject is the assurance of Christ. Encouraging those who believe the gospel to find in Him peace, joy, and rest. This epistle of John is an epistle of assurance. In fact, about 9 times the apostle John speaks very emphatically that we know that we're saved. We know we're children of God. Let me just read you something. You listen to me and let me just quote these verses. 1 John 2, verse 5. Whoso keepeth God's word, in him verily is the word of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in Christ. Hereby know we we're in Christ. 1 John 2, 21. I have not written unto you because you do not know the truth. I have written unto you because you know the truth, and no lie is of the truth. You know the truth. 1 John 3:14. We know, John says, that we have passed from death unto life. We know we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abides in death. 1 John 3:19. And hereby we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before Christ. We know. Hereby we know we are of the truth and assure our hearts. We have assurance, blessed assurance, that we are before Him. 1 John 3:24, and hereby we know that He abides in us. I know He abides in me. You do too. How? By the Spirit that He's given to us. That's how we know. If any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his. We know we're in Christ. His Spirit dwells in us. 1 John 4:2, hereby know we the Spirit of truth. We know the Spirit of truth. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. 1 John 4:6, we are of God. We are of God. He that heareth us, he that knoweth God, hears us. We are of God. He that knows God hears us. He that's not of God hears not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. He that is of God hears God. 1 John 4:13. Hereby know we that we dwell in God and God dwells in us, because God has given to us His Spirit. Hereby we know that we dwell in God and God dwells in us, because God has given us His Spirit. And 1 John 5, verse 2, by this, know we that we love the children of God when we love God and keep His commandments. 9 times. John said, we have blessed assurance. We're in Christ. Christ dwells in us. We know that. We know that. And that's the way my message starts out today in 1 John 5, verse 1. 1 John 5, verse 1. 1 John 5, 1 says this, whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. Now, my friends, every life begins with a birth. Whether it be a man or a beast, each creature that God has created, whether it be a natural life or a spiritual life, every life begins with a birth. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and it can be nothing but flesh, but it's life. And that which is born of the Spirit of God, born of God, is spirit and will always live. The Lord Jesus Christ said, "Whosoever liveth and believeth in me will never die." So everybody, by birth, everybody enters into life. By a birth, we enter into natural life, which lives and dies. And by a new birth, we enter into the kingdom of God. We enter into spiritual life by birth. So everyone who comes into life is born, has to be born. Our Lord Jesus said, "Verily I say unto you, except a man be born of the water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God." It multiplied millions of people that come into the world all the time who have natural life, and that's all. And then there's some born of God. Whoso believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and they enter into the kingdom of God and into life everlasting. But the natural flesh and the spiritual life, the flesh to life and the natural life, the spiritual life and the flesh to life, they have some things in common. There's some ways in which that they're similar. If you turn to Psalm 139, David says this in Psalm 139. Here's the two life, the natural life and spiritual life. Both are created by God. Both the natural life is of God and the spiritual life is of God. And David describes both of them here in Psalm 139, verse 13. Psalm 139, 13. "Thou hast possessed my reins. Thou hast covered me in my mother's womb." That's true of everybody. "I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made." That's true of everybody. See, any natural life is a miracle. And bless your heart, a spiritual life is a greater miracle. But it's still a miracle. And he said that, I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. "Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well." That's the natural life. "My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret, and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth, in my mother's womb." So that's natural life. But now watch this next verse. "But my substance was not hid from thee. Thy eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect, and in thy book all my members were written, which in a continuous were fashioned when as yet there was none of them." The natural man is born, created by God, comes into the world and dies. But the spiritual life is born of God. "And in his book all my members were written when as yet there were none of them." That's right. Chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world. Spiritual life. Spiritual life. So all life is born, and all life comes from God. But that eternal life by which we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ is spiritual, the kingdom of God. So it's that way, it's similar that way. Now here's the second way that all life is similar in a way. When a person is born into the world, a natural person, life is created. And it's a life that's like the one that begat him. For example, turn to Genesis 1, verse 24. Genesis 1, verse 24. Adam Adam had a son, and he had a son just like himself. Just like himself. In Genesis verse chapter 21, verse 24, and God said, let the earth bring forth the living creature of his kind. Cattle, creeping things, beasts of the field, after its kind. And so God made the beast of the field after his kind, and the cattle after his kind, and every creeping thing after its kind, even man after his kind. In other words, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. It's born of the flesh. But when a person is born again of the Heavenly Father, it's a spiritual life. That which is born of God. That's the reason our Lord said in John chapter 1, he said, that everyone that believes is born of God. Not of the will of the flesh, not of the will of man, but born of God. Like life is created. And then thirdly, in both births, life is brought forth complete. A person born of the natural life comes forth as mind. He has a mind. He has a heart. He has lungs. He has life. Natural life. And it's complete. Oh, he'll be a baby and he'll grow and grow into manhood. But he's still got the whole life is there. So when God creates a son, in the image of Christ, a spiritual life, that's complete too. He has the mind of Christ, the heart of Christ. That's right, the nature of Christ. In him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and we are complete in him. So that natural life is complete in the flesh. That spiritual life born of God, complete in Christ. He'll grow in grace and mature, but he's complete. And then the fourth things about this life, and let me think about this now. In both births, natural birth and the spiritual birth, there's a character created. There's a character. In the natural man, I'll tell you what that character is. Turn to Romans chapter 8. I'll tell you what that character is. In Romans chapter 8, tells us what it is. In Romans chapter 8, verse 6, the carnal mind, in Romans 8, verse 6, Father, to be carnally minded is death, eternal death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Now, who creates that nature? When that man is born of a human father and comes forth with life, comes forth like his father, comes forth complete in a natural life, but he comes forth with an evil mind and an evil heart, born of his father. When God creates life in Christ, it's a new nature. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away and all things become new. Read the rest of this verse. Verse 7, Romans 8. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God. But not the spiritual mind. The carnal mind is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can it be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Never can. It's an evil nature. It's born evil. It'll stay evil. It'll die evil. But you are not in the flesh. Thank God for that. You're in the Spirit. You have a spiritual life, the life of God, born of the Spirit of God, born of the Word, born of the water, and born again. If so be that the Spirit of God dwells in you, it's a new life. And that's what John, let's go back to John chapter 1. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. He's born of God. Born of God. That's right. The Father loveth the Son and given all things into his hand. He that believeth on the Son of God hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. All right, look at the next line. So, and next line says, and everyone that loveth him that begat. Who is him that begat? Who is him that begat? We're talking about spiritual life now. We're talking about that person born of God. Who begat him? God did. God is the begatter. God is the begatter. That's what he said. Everyone that loveth him that begat, that loves the Father. God has begotten us again unto living hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And everyone that loves the one who begets, listen to the next line, loveth him also that's begotten of him. That's a sign, settled, unchangeable truth. Whosoever believeth Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And if he's born of God, everyone that loveth him that begat will also love him as begotten. He'll love Christ. That's right. Cling to him. Rest in him. Believe on him. Everyone. Who is this that begat? It's the Father, born of God. Who is this that's begotten of him? It's the Son, born again. Everyone who loves the one who begats loves the one that's begotten. If any man love not our Lord Jesus Christ, let him be anathema. The Lord's coming. All right, verse 2. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. This new birth, this knowledge of the Father, this new nature, we know that we love God, we love the Son, we love the Spirit of God, we love the children of God, we love the way of God and the Word of God and the Gospel of God and the mercies of God. And John tells us in chapter 5, verse 20, hereby know we that the Son of God hath come and hath given us an understanding, a nature, that we may know him that is true. And we're in him that is true, even in his Son, Jesus Christ. And this is life eternal. Verse 3. And this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. And his commandments are not grievous. This is the evidence of that life and love of God, that we keep his commandments. We keep his word. His commandments, his love, his precepts, his ordinance, his worship, they're not disagreeable to us. They're not grievous to us. They're not burdensome to us. We love the Word of God. We delight in the laws of God. It's the way of the transgressor that's hard. It's not the way of the believer. The ways of the Lord are the ways of peace and joy and holiness, and we delight to do his will. Turn to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. Listen to this. Here is the fruit of the Spirit of God. In Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace and long-suffering and gentleness and goodness and faith. It's meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ, those that believe on him, those that love him, they have crucified the flesh with the affections and the lust. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. And let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, or envying one another. The commandments of our Lord are not grievous. They're peace and joy and everlasting life. All right, verse 4. 1 John 5, verse 4. Now, let's summarize just a moment. Whosoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone that loves the Father, the one who begat, also loves him that's begotten of him. And whosoever loves God and loves God's Son loves God's Word and loves God's law and loves God's commandments, loves his way, delights in the ways of the Lord. Now, verse 4. And whosoever is born of God overcomes the world. Overcomes the world. What does this mean? We live in the world. We're citizens of the world. What does it mean to overcome the world? That's what it says here. Whosoever is born of God overcometh the world. Well, let me help you a little bit. Consider that we live a life in this world. We're born into this natural world. And we grow up here as children. And we go to school, like all other children go to school. Those that belong to God and those that don't belong to God. Jacob ever loved, Esau ever hated. But those boys grew up together. Jacob and Esau grew up together. We can name our own families grown up together and gone different ways entirely. But we were children together. We went to school. We played the games. We lived in houses together. Sat at the same breakfast table and ate the same food and went to the same school and went different ways. We lived in the city. We got a job. We married. We raised a family. We eat, we drink, we sleep, we drive automobiles. We live in a world. We live in a world. And some like it. And some delight in it. And some dote on it. And some despise it. And we try to get along together and live in peace with all men. But God's made a difference. Just like he did among the Israelites and the Egyptians. God made a difference. God made an awesome difference. Awesome difference. God made a difference between me and some of my dear relatives. They hate what I love and love what I hate. They hate my God, hate my gospel. I love the gospel. Love God. God made a difference. We believe his word. We love his holiness. We love his truth. We love his commandments. We love the things of God. And we despise the evil that's moving about us. Don't we? Let's read the scripture to turn to 1 John 2. 1 John chapter 2. In 1 John 2 verse 15, listen to it. Love not the world. What is that? The world's system, the world's philosophy, the world's intellect, the world's attitude and spirit and pride and arrogance. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of God's not in him. For all that's in this world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not of God, it's of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof, because he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Turn to John 15. Listen to Christ here. John chapter 15, verse 19. John 15, 19. Listen to this. John 15, verse 19. Verse 18. Now the world hates you. You know it hated me before it hated you. Why do we love Christ? He shed abroad his love in our hearts. That's the reason we love him.
The reason they hate him, they don't love Christ. They don't love, he's not born of God. Now, if you love the world will love its own. But because you're not of the world, I chose you out of the world, therefore the world will hate you. That's just the way it is. That's the way it is. And now the next verse is chapter 17, and this gives us a little insight into what we mean by overcoming the world. Listen to this. John 17, verse 14. The Lord Jesus speaking here now. He says in John 17, verse 14, I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them. Why? Because they are not of the world. They're not of the spirit of the world, the attitude of the world, the philosophy of the world, the evil of the world. They're not of the world. They live in this world. They work in this world. They go to have jobs in this world. And they have people they care for in this world, but they're not of the world. Who's he talking about? We're not of this world, even as Christ is not of this world. Our Lord was in this world. He walked in this world. He lived in this world. He died in this world. But he said, I'm not of the world even as they're not. And I pray not you should take them out of the world. God's going to leave us here. But that you should keep them from the evil one. That's what I pray. I pray that by God's grace and mercy and the love of Christ and the mercy of God and the truth of God and the word of God and the teaching of the Holy Spirit, that God will keep you from this world, keep you from the evil of this world, subdue you and crucify your flesh and put down those things. Because they are not of the world, even as I'm not of the world. All right, turn to 1 John again. Let's go back to our text. They overcome the world. How do we overcome the world? 1 John 5, verse 4. But whosoever is born of God overcometh the world. Watch this now. And this is the victory that overcometh the world. Our faith. Our love for Christ. That's how the victory. This is the victory that overcomes the world. It's our faith in Christ Jesus. Look back over at 1 John 4, verse 4. 1 John 4, verse 4. You are of God, little children. You have overcome the world. You've overcome them. Why? Because greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. That's the difference. That's the difference. You have overcome the world because greater is he that's in you, dwells in you, lives in you, motivates you. It's greater than he that motivates the world, lives in the world. John Gill said this, this is for the comfort of those who believe. This is for the comfort of those who know Christ. Here is the comfort. Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. God is mightier than Satan. God is mightier than the man of sin. God is able to keep you and preserve his children. God dwells in their hearts by faith and will persevere, will preserve us from corruption because God is stronger than the strong man that comes upon you. God is stronger. Greater is he that's in you than he's in the world. It's not my strength, it's his. Christ our Lord is able to keep us from falling. He said he's able to keep us from falling and able to present you faultless before his presence with exceeding joy, being confident of this very thing, that he that hath begun a good work in you shall perfect it. You can overcome the world. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, our faith. All right. Verse 5. I've got to give you the second part of this now. But now, who is he that overcometh the world? Is it me? Is it you? Well, it says he that believeth that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. But my friend, it's not your trust and your strength and your power. It's Christ in you. That's the hope of glory. Christ is made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. Christ, it's not my trust. It's not my confidence. It's your, it's not yourself or your person. It's only in Christ, who is the Son of God. And the victory of faith is not owing to our faith itself, but it's owing to the object of our faith. That's what it is. It's not owing to the faith. It's owing to Him who is the object of our faith. He has overcome. Who is he that overcometh the world? It's he that believeth that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And what? Look at verse 6. And this is he that came by water and blood, even Christ. That's who he is. He came to my heart and to your heart. He came with the word of God. He came with the gospel of grace. He came with the mercy of God. And he came and created us new creatures in Christ Jesus. He came by water and blood. And it's the Spirit that bears witness, because it's the Spirit of truth. You see, my friends, overcoming faith is seeing the Son of God in His glory, in the suitableness of His office, in the power of His person, in the grace and redemption of His righteousness, and it's being drawn by the Father to Christ. It is to trust Him. It's to believe Him for life, righteousness, and salvation. Who is he that overcometh the world? It's he that believeth that Jesus is the Christ. But I'll tell you, it's not your faith, it's His. It's His grace. But I tell you, where you find faith, you'll find the gift of God. Where faith is present, it's the gift of God, not of works. Where you find faith, you find the mark of sonship. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. Doth not appear what we shall be, but when He shall appear, we'll be like Him. Where you find faith, you find the works of faith. Because faith without works is dead. Where you find faith, you find the witness of the Spirit. What is this witness of the Spirit? Look here, let me show you this and I'll quit. In verse 7, verse 6 through 10, the word witness is used 9 times. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 times. You use the witness, the record. This is the witness of God. We've got the witness of God is it's magnificent, beyond all compare. The witness of God. Let's talk about this witness of God. Verse 7. The three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. My soul. Who's our witness? The Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. The three that bear record in the earth, the Spirit of God, testimony of God, the water, the Word of God, and the blood of Christ. Do you receive those three? They agree in one. And if we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. And this is the witness of God that He has testified of His Son. That's our assurance. That's our assurance. He has said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. So you can boldly say, the Lord is my helper. And I'll not fear what man will do. He said that by His Father, His Son, and His Spirit. By the water, by the Word, and by the Spirit. By every testimony of every believer of all time, the witness is out there. Christ is the Savior. And I know, like I've started this message, I know that we've passed from death into life. by the witness. But now here's a witness I want you to look at, and then I'll close. Verse 10, he that believeth on the Son hath the witness in himself. Oh, would you listen to me for just 2 or 3 minutes? I've been talking about the witness of the Word, the witness of the Spirit, the witness of the Father, the witness of the Son, the witness of all the great prophets and preachers and all these witnesses of God's grace and mercy and Christ's power to save and willingness to save and blood and righteousness, all these witnesses. But wait a minute! I've got a witness here. Right in here. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. Can you illustrate that? Yes, sir. There was a young man that was a selfish and proud young man, and he said to his loving father, I don't want to live with you anymore. I want you to divide your money, your inheritance, now and give it to me, and I'm leaving here. And he did. He left. He's gone. I don't know how long. A long time. He's gone. Gone. Wasted his substance, filthy living, righteous living, evil. Lost everything. Broke, hungry, weary, sinful, evil. And he's sitting there on a hog pen rail. And a man came by and said, your father doesn't love you. He said, no, I don't suppose he does. Your father disinherited you and disowned you, and he doesn't care anything about you. You're not his son anymore. And I expect he thought it was right. But somehow the Spirit of God turned that young man toward home. And he came over that hill that day, and the Scripture said his father, that loving father, never had forsook him or disowned him or disinherited him. He saw him. He saw his son, and he went running, threw his arms around him, and said, kissed him on the cheek, hugged him. This my son was dead, now he's alive. Bring the ring, put it on his finger. Bring the shoes, put him on his feet. Bring the fatted calf and make a feast. My son's alive. He's standing there with the robe and with the ring and with the our father's arm around him and his wet kiss still on his cheek. And this fella came by and said, your father doesn't love you. Your father's disowned you and disinherited you. He said about a week ago, I would have believed that too. But I know better now. My father does love me. I have the witness in myself. I don't need you to tell me. I'm glad you do. But I don't need you to tell me. His Spirit bears witness with our spirit that I'm the Son of God. And don't deny it either. Unless you don't love him. But we do. And all of his mercies and blessings are magnificent. He that believeth on the Son hath the witness in himself.